Man, that's a blessing. I'm glad we can trust in the Lord. Amen. And it's good to see Miss Linda back tonight on the organ. Missed her this morning. Glad she's feeling better. And I'm still glad that Miss Roberta knows how to play that little bitty piano over there. So it's a little bitty thing. I was just reminding those of you in Children's Church and who were working in other places this morning that the grand piano is packed up, and so we can get it out of the way as they come through this wall. And this is the first piano that we purchased when we started, and for $200 in a garage sale. Still a good piano, and we're glad we're still using it. Amen. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 29. And I didn't mention this morning, though. I thanked everybody for all the help for the parade, but. And the tank received most original in the float, one most original. And so that's really good. And the $20 gift card to Sonic. That's what they won. Yeah, $2,000 tank, $20 gift card. All right. We're exaggerating the price on the tank a little bit, but. Again, appreciate all those who worked so hard. And man, a lot of sweat, especially yesterday. And boy, just came together. Just really, really nice. Appreciate Brother Clark heading that up again. And doing a fantastic job. It looks good out in front, too, doesn't it? And so we're looking forward to Vacation Bible School here in a couple of weeks. Boot camp. And then the juniors leave tomorrow for junior camp. We're leaving it here at the church at 2 o'clock. Everybody needs to be here at 1:30. But need prayer for our juniors. God would be with them and keep them safe, number one. Number two, just the Lord bless them spiritually. So, and then they'll come back, have a week rest, and then VBS. And here we go. And youth camp. And then all of a sudden, we're back, going back to school. Oh. Sorry. Time moves on. I'm going to be a little brief tonight because I'd like to go to the end of the business meeting. And then we have all this stuff to move before we leave. Hopefully, a lot of you will stay and help us. And so Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, familiar passage. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And this has been used multiple times, preaching on the church and the church having a vision, the need for a church to have a vision. And need for the church not only to have a vision, but to keep its purpose in front of it. And we preached lately on the ingredients of a healthy church. We preached on our purposes again here just last week. And just reminding us that buildings are tools. Our purpose is what we're here for. But in order to fulfill our purpose, we need tools. And buildings are those tools we need in order to house the people as we reach them. Amen? And so we think about that. But I think it's important that we continue to have a vision, but also keeping the purposes in front of us. I think at times our church, and I know I have drifted from that. Sometimes we drift from our purpose too much, and it kind of gets out of kelter and so forth. Sometimes we just don't have a vision. There's no vision in front of us of where we're headed and where we're going. And so just want to again remind you tonight that the duties of the church, what are they? What are they? And the importance of having a clear purpose. Having a clear purpose, loving God, growing together, serving others. Having a clear purpose builds morale and it reduces friction. It reduces friction in that, listen, we're just here winning people to the Lord. We're here to baptize them. We're here to disciple them. All these other things are peripheral. But the important things need to get done. And as long as we, each of us, have the purpose in front of us, then we can all unify behind that. And though you may have a different view of this or a different view of that or whatever may accomplish that purpose, we can all unify behind the purpose. And whether it's a Sunday school teacher, whether it's the master clubs, whether it's the choir, the ushers, I mean, all the way through our ministries, we know that each ministry, each program we have is put in place to reach people, to fulfill our purposes. Our purposes define what we do and don't do. Also, clear purposes allow us to examine ourselves and how we're doing. And that's why, you know, we don't talk about numbers a whole lot, but we do keep record of what we run and what each Sunday school class runs. And I think it's important to sit back and examine from time to time where we're at and what we're doing. And, you know, what is our business? Our business is our purposes. And how is business? How is business? And the Bible talks about doing everything decently and in order. And as a church, we want to do that. And one of our goals this year was to improve the quality of ministry. And we're trying, our staff is trying very hard to do that and trying to encourage you to help us do that and come along and so forth. But how is our business? How are we doing? And we want to continue to improve what we're doing. We want to continue to improve our worship. We want to continue to improve our growing together. We want to continue to improve our serving others. As we think about the duties of the church, we go right back to Matthew 22. And that is that we ought to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. This is the first and great commandment. Matthew 4:10 says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Psalm 34, verse 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." As we think about the duties of the church, we think about worship the Lord, worshiping him. As I said this morning, I think I was a little more excited than the rest of the crowd. I'm not sure, but man, we ought to be more enamored with the Lord than we are the event of his coming. We ought to think more about the person than, you know, the event that's going to take place. I want to have that personal walk with the Lord. I want to continue to get closer and closer to him. And I want to express my adoration to him. I want to express my love to him. And I do that by way of worshiping him, singing to him. I want to worship him not out of duty, but out of desire. Not out of duty, but delight. Worshiping the Lord, coming to church tonight should not have been a duty. It should have been a delight. Amen. Singing tonight, the old hymns, I appreciate Brother Tim. I've really tried to encourage him and Brother Wiggins both to sing some new songs on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I want to hear songs I haven't sung in, you know, forever. I want to hear new songs. I think it's good for us to get out of our box a little bit, especially when it comes to hymns, and have to concentrate a little more on the words and have to look down and really pay attention to what we're singing and just think about those words and sing them to the Lord and worship him. Lift him up. We think about our duties as worship. We think about our duties. We think about ministry. Ministry. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 9:41. That we should edify and build each other up in ministry. That we should be about the tending of the needs of others. I think about the Hopkins family. I think about various families outside our church family whom we can help and do for. I think about Shirley McMillan and visiting and helping and the sick and reaching out to them in love. And I'd encourage you with Miss Shirley, write a little note or send it by way of myself or Miss Roberta and get it to her. She's depressed, as I would be probably if I'd been in the hospital that long and just going to things. She needs encouragement. As we think about ministry, think about reaching out to those individuals and ministering to them. And I appreciate Brother Cox making an extra effort and doing these things for us and helping us with it. But we need to be about ministry. The duties of the church, of course, is worshiping. Coming to church and worshiping corporately, worshiping him, as we said a few nights ago, personally. But also ministering to others, ministering to their hurts and to their needs emotionally and all these things. Ministering to the needs. Demonstrate God's love through ministry. How are you demonstrating God's love? How are you serving? What are you doing to reach out to someone else here at the church? You ought to be involved from working in the nursery. I appreciate my wife, and that was a great letter she sent out this week, reminding us of the necessity of the nursery. I mean, you think about it. If all them little babies were in here and the distraction it would be, especially on Sunday mornings when we know we have lost people here every Sunday morning. I mean, what a distraction. And you ladies who help keep the nursery are giving an opportunity for someone to really listen to the gospel. And what a privilege it is. And you come in tired, especially, you know, Wednesday nights coming from work, and all you're going to have to do is sit in the nursery, you know. All I'm going to do is sit in that nursery. Well, sitting in that nursery is going to cause a young new convert like the McKinneys who've been coming faithfully. They're not here tonight. They have to work tonight. But they've been coming faithfully. Allow them to listen and without distractions. And grow in the word of the Lord. Amen? These are all very important things in demonstrating our love through ministry. Thirdly, we think about, in the duties of the church, we think about going about making disciples. And we come back to what we said this morning about evangelism and reaching out to our neighbor and friends. And I'm so encouraged by several individual families. I'm going to talk about one since they're not here. And Juan and Eva. You think about Juan and Eva, and if they were here, I was going to use them anyway. But Juan and Eva... who came to our church about 3 years ago, and she came to the fall festival and came back a few Sundays later and got saved, and then her and Juan, and, you know, Mary, and they bring people. I mean, they witness to people. I have witnessed to not only how many of their friends or how many of the people they've invited to church. And you know, that's what it should be about. And we talked about it a few months ago about our circle of influence. The problem with many of us is that our circle of influence is pretty small. So all of our friends are Christians. So what we have to do, we have to broaden our circle of influence. So that means you're going to have to talk to somebody you may not know, or you may have to talk to somebody who may simply be an acquaintance. In order to fulfill your duty as a Christian to tell somebody else about Jesus, you may have to get out of your box. You may have to get out of your comfort zone. You may have to, again, meet that neighbor across the street you've never talked to before and go over and bring him a plate of cookies. Maybe it'll be me. Bring him a plate of cookies and say, hey, just want to just meet you and let you know we're here if we can ever help you. And, you know, have that opportunity. Broaden your circle of influence. Every Christian responsibility is to make disciples. Every Christian responsibility to evangelize. And certainly we think about the duties of the church is to evangelize. Every Christian not only is responsible to evangelize, but one day will be accountable for your efforts in evangelizing. Every Christian has the privilege to tell somebody about Jesus. And I again ask the question, when's the last time you told somebody about Jesus Christ? When's the last time you tried to influence? I can think of many of you who have, who've witnessed to your neighbors and got your neighbors here. I saw the Ivy's neighbor here again this morning. And trying your best to tell somebody and influence somebody for Jesus. By the way, our special days are great days to do that. You have an excuse. You know, Roundup Sunday comes around. What a great opportunity to say, hey, our church is having a special day. Just want to invite you to come and hear the good singing and hear the preaching. And we're going to have a little rodeo afterwards. Your kids can come and participate. What a great time. Anytime we have these special days. And yes, we have them for us, but they're primarily an evangelistic tool to reach out to our community, reach out to our friends and neighbors. We need to reach out to them. The duties of the church to evangelize. And then fourthly, we think about baptizing them. We think about fellowship. We laugh a lot about it, and we mentioned the other night about as much as we fellowship around here, but it is absolutely found in Acts 2, where they won them, baptized them, and they began to break bread. It's not a Baptist thing. It's a Christian thing. Wednesday night is an important service, and because of our situation with the building, we're not going to have a long service and probably be very short and maybe on the porch back there in the back. But it's a time of fellowship to gather around and eat fish. And Lord willing, we will have a place to eat in the cool for some of you. And we'll, even if we got to put them in the True North class or whatever we need to do. But fellowship, sit around and fellowship and just break bread together. And it's just amazing. I love it. Part of it. Part of the ministry of the church, part of the duties of the church. We are not just called to believe, but to belong. And I'm telling you right now, as we reach out to our community and continue to reach out to our community, and we win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't want to just be one, they want to belong somewhere. And that's where the Sunday school is so vital. Let me say it again. That's where the Sunday school is so vital of retaining people that we win. In order to retain them, they've got to find a place to belong. That's why the Sunday school teachers, adult classes, you're so important. Care group leaders in the adult classes, your teacher can't do it without you. Your teacher can't visit every visitor and every person who's absent every week without you. That's why it's important for you to be in teacher's meeting. That's why it's important for you to be at visitation, just as important as your teacher to be there. It's vital as we go forward. In evangelism. It's vital as we go forward in fellowship and seeing people get saved and baptized. And then retaining them. It's awesome to think about, I lead somebody to the Lord, and I've led a couple here in the last 2 or 3 months. And they've come sporadically, but I shouldn't be the only one visiting them. Hello? I shouldn't be the only one going to their house. I just want to encourage, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just, listen, all of us got to work together. And the Sunday school is so important for somebody their age to go to their home and say, hey, why don't you come to my Sunday school class? Hey, and it shouldn't be just Doyce showing up at their house. Doyce has been to their house already. It should be another couple who says, hey, we just want to come by and invite you to church and encourage you. What can we do for you? Is everything okay? Been sick? You know, just really try to genuinely care for them. Thus, care group leader. Let's term that. But duty to fellowship together. I'm glad it's our duty to fellowship because that's what I'm doing Wednesday night. I'm supposed to do it. Lastly, teach them to obey. Teach them to obey, to equip the saints. That's part of the pastor's duty. And it's certainly the church's duty to equip those who come in, to equip them. Every Christian should know what they believe and why they believe it. I'll never forget when a pastor told me, Brother Crawford, you just need to calm down. Just preach to them, make them feel good. I said, no, sir, I believe that they ought to know what they believe and why. And sometimes that takes preaching to people and not just making them feel good. The Bible says the preacher is supposed to get up, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. If a preacher is not reproving and rebuking and exhorting, he's not preaching. He's giving a little sermonette. He's giving a little motivational speech. We want people to know what they believe and why. And certainly, you ought to be able to give an answer to every man. That's the key. And we want to continue that philosophy of ministry, back to the basic philosophy of ministry, that everyone know what they believe and why. I'm going to go ahead, Brother Zellner, and I'm going to spill the beans. In the fall, Brother Zellner is going to have hip surgery coming up, and we're certainly going to be in prayer for him. But in the fall, with these new classrooms and things that are possibly going to happen, and even with that, there's going to still be a couple more classrooms open up. I really believe we ought to go back and just get to the basics of training our teachers. And we're going to go back to a Wednesday night. Our elective on Wednesday night in the fall, during the service, will be teacher training with Brother Zellner. I'm excited about it. And those new teachers we bring on will go through the same class. The teachers that have been teaching forever will go through the same class on a Wednesday night during the Wednesday night service. You know, like we had the Financial Peace University as an elective. In the fall, the elective will be for teachers only, or those who are interested in teaching, and they'll go through the class. We want to get back to, listen, teachers going to their class and holding a Bible in their hand and teaching from the notes that they have prepared. Every teacher should not go to, no teacher should go into their class and teach from the little booklet. You say, well, I teach first and second grade. I teach third and fourth grade. I teach fifth. It doesn't matter. You should go to your class having prepared all week, having gone into that particular class with your Bible in hand and notes which you have prepared. And your class will be better off for it because you've studied it out and you're prepared to go. So that's vitally important. And then I think Brother Henderson and myself talk so much about application, and Brother Zellner has as well. Taking what we're teaching and then applying it. I was preaching this morning, and some of you may have noticed what I did as I was preaching. I said, we need to do this. And I said, no, you need to do this. And then I said, I need to do this. I think sometimes we get a little apprehensive, and we always like to say we all the time, because we don't make anybody feel on the spot, you know? But the Bible says ye, you, ye, plural, all of us. We need to be about the Father's business. Amen? And sometimes it's good for us to apply it personally to someone and really make the rubber meet the road, right? Teach them to obey. Disciple and equip them. Every Christian, disciple. Discipleship simply is a process of helping people become more like Christ in their thoughts and their feelings and their actions. Listen, to follow in His steps. Follow Jesus Christ. Follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow on. I want to follow Him everywhere. And whatever He tells me to do, I want to do it. Whatever He tells me not to do, I don't want to do those things. I just want to follow in His steps. And I want to instruct and equip people in following the Savior. Our duties are clear. And that is one of worship. As we worship together collectively, as we worship corporately, As we sing praises unto Him, and I've told you the other two sermons that, man, you ought to sing out loud every time. But man, Sunday morning, and I would, again, just talking with Tim and Brother Wiggins, man, singing songs Sunday mornings that we're familiar with. We don't want to learn a new song on Sunday morning. We want to sing, we want to sing when the roll is called up yonder, and there's power in the blood, and when we all get to heaven, and we want everybody in the back rows to sing just as loud as the people in the front rows. We want the visitors to feel like, what in the world's going on here? Isn't this amazing, you know? Just worshiping and singing out loud to the Lord. Just giving it our all. Offering plates pass, people don't duck and pray. They want to worship the Lord and give. Being a cheerful giver. Just worshiping the Lord. Worshiping Him. And then ministry to every member. Every member ought to be a minister. Every member ought to be a minister. Every member ought to be involved in a ministry, whatever that may be. And then evangelizing, all of us going during the week, going on Tuesdays and Saturdays. By the way, if your circle of influence has gotten really, really small, a good way to evangelize is to come on Tuesdays and Saturdays, and we'll send you out to people you don't know. Encourage and fellowship together. I just want to encourage you, when your Sunday school class has a fellowship, it's important for you to be there. You say, well, I'm tired, or this or that, or whatever, or this has come up or that. Listen, it's not just important for you. It's also important for the others. Can I just tell you that it's a selfless act for you to go to fellowship? If you don't see it any other way than that. If you're not the one trying to belong, but somebody else is. By you going to the fellowship, you're going to help them. That's what I'm trying to say. Just want to encourage you. Be a part of the fellowships. It's important. By the way, fellowship's an opportunity, too, to invite somebody who may not come to, like Wednesday night for the 4th of July, what a great opportunity to invite somebody who's not a church person. Just say, hey, we're going to come and we're going to have free fish fry and French fries and okra and smoked chicken. And we're going to go back to the back of the property, especially if they live in the city and can't do it. Go back to the property and pop fireworks and let the little kids do their sparklers and just come out and hang out with us. Pastor's going to give a devotion. That's going to be true this time. We're going to give a devotion because it's going to be hot. Invite somebody. Encourage others by fellowship. And then lastly, again, discipling and teaching others and just encouraging our teachers. Keep up the good work. I mean, get that Bible in your hand and give that class what you have learned during the week and be ready. I'm going to talk a lot about Brother Henderson now, kind of in the past because we miss him. One of the things I loved about going over there, I generally went over to his house on Mondays every other week for an hour or two. He started every Monday studying for his Sunday school class. Every Monday. He started on Monday. Every Monday. Preparing for his Sunday school class on Sunday. And here's a pastor, a preacher for 70-something years, still studying for his class and starting on Monday. Preparing for that class. And I just want to encourage our teachers. We are to do our best for the Lord. Give it your best. Your class deserves it. Give it your best. We have lots of visitors. And even in Sunday school, we have lots of visitors. And you don't know about that student who may be sitting before you, what they may be going through, whether they're saved or not. I mean, give it your best. The building and buildings are but a tool to help us accomplish our purposes. And let us always be reminded that our buildings are special, but they're certainly not everything. Some churches make their building everything. And it becomes the sacred cow. And I just want to encourage you. The building is a tool. The tools are important to fulfill our duties, to fulfill our purposes, to have a healthy church. And so let's continue to do to fulfill our duties. Let's all stand. Hymn 39, Take My Life and Let It Be, Wholly Consecrated to Thee.